All right, let's clap our hands to the Lord. Give him a big praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. While you're standing, I'm going to read scripture out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Verse 15 follows right in line with it. Looking diligently, lest any man would fail of the grace of God, lest a root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and defile you. And verse 16 tells us, lest there be a fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who sold one morsel of bread, sold his birthright. Would you clap your hands as you're seated and praise the Lord? I'm going to give you a thought tonight, fallen from grace. The author is writing to New Testament Apostolic Church. And he said, you have to be very careful and you have to look diligently. Now, when he used those words, looking diligently, he meant pay attention diligently that you don't fall from grace. Hebrews is full of warnings and it's admonishing us some things. In fact, it says in Hebrews 2, therefore, we ought to take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So, as we go into this tonight, I want to give you chapter 12:2 of Hebrews. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's the beginning of chapter 12. When I read was the middle of the chapter. And here's where I'm going. Looking unto Jesus, who is the starter and the finisher. Whatever he started in you, he wants to be the finisher in you. And he warns us, the writer does, right in the middle of this. He said, there are Christians who fail. And they fail because they do not stay in the grace of God. Now go with me to Romans. This is a lot of scripture, but it's a theme you've got to get. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 2, by whom? By Jesus, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and we're rejoicing in hope. I want you to grab these thoughts tonight. I want to go to the word access. By whom we have access. I've been in places before where it says authorized personnel only. Have you been there? You have those where you work. And if you're going to get into that place, you've got to have a card or a code. You have to have what? Access. Entrance. It's allowance to get into something. Now, what Paul is saying here is, through Jesus, we have access into the grace of God by faith. And one of the best ways I can explain this is that down the street in front of my house, there's a water line, and it carries city water. But it doesn't turn and come into my house. I have to access it. How many know what I'm talking about? So there's a blue pipe flowing with fresh water. But if I don't get in there and tap into it, I don't get it. So if you're going to walk in the grace of God, you have got to tap into it. And that line is faith. He said, through faith, you can get into the grace of God. Stay with me. Because he said, some people have wrecked and become bitter. And they failed God. They let a root get in them that made them bitter. And they have fallen from grace. And he said, here's how it works. What is grace? The pastor mentioned two of the things that I wrote down. Unearned favor, unmerited favor. We are all here tonight because God put favor on us. It came from him. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, not by works, lest any man should boast, in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. By grace I am saved. Grace is unmerited favor. God showed favor on me. I wasn't perfect. I wasn't some special child. You know, last Sunday night we talked about Joseph, who came out with the coat of many colors. And we walked through four chapters. God always gives you the vision first. And then he takes you through a trail of preparation. So he said, if you are going to get into this grace, you've got to tap a line of faith right into the grace of God. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is also the power of God in your life to perform beyond your natural ability. When grace is working in you, you are able to do far beyond what you're trained for, educated for, and by natural talent, because grace does way beyond what you could on your own. It's God working in you to do greater things than you could alone. Does it make sense? Paul said, it's by this grace that I have become an apostle. And then he says, grace is also delayed judgment. Most bills come to your house and to our mailbox, and you've got, what, 30 days to pay? It seems like that seems to be the regular thing. And then sometimes there's a grace period. So what is grace? Right now, we're in a stage of grace in the world. God is not judging sin yet. He's allowing people to just absolutely go to excess. He is allowing people to fall out into their lusts of the flesh and to live their life away from God. So we're in a time of delayed judgment. How many are glad for that? How many are glad God delayed the judgment in your life until you got this thing together? Amen. Now, grace is a person. Grace is a person. And that person has a name. It's called Jesus. So he says here, by whom also we have access. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who allows us, he said, by whom also we have access. We can tap into this grace. Why do some people get more grace than others? Because they've got a bigger pipeline going out to the grace line. They got a bigger faith. And that's why the disciples said, increase our faith. Boy, I wish God would do for me what he did for this one. I wish God would do for me what he did for that one. You know what? That one's got a larger pipeline going out to the main flow of grace. So you need to increase your faith and get a larger supply. Can you give just a little shout tonight? Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Now I'm going to tell you what Titus could say. For Jesus Christ of God, who brings salvation, has appeared to all men. Grace is a person. Grace and truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by who? By Jesus Christ. You know what he said? Grace and truth. I want you to see these two. There are churches all across the land. I've seen churches called, they got a big sign out in front that says, Truth Church. We preach the truth here. And you go four blocks down the road and it's Grace Church. We show grace here. They're both wrong. They ought to get together and call it grace and truth. You have to tell people the truth. If you don't tell people the truth, you're doing them no favor. You're just loading up their load for eternity lost without God. You're helping them go to hell if you don't preach truth. And at the same time, you just can't come down and hit everybody over the head all the time. You got to give people grace. So the Bible says Jesus came giving grace and truth. And Titus 2:11 says this, grace, the grace of God. In other words, Jesus has appeared unto all men everywhere. This is not hidden from anybody. Now, I want to go into Titus 3:4. I want to move to the next chapter, and I want to speak to you tonight about how not to fall out of grace. Because the Bible says there are people in chapter 12 who have fallen from grace because they got bitter. Now, what here the Titus says, Paul says to Titus, we ourselves at one time acted very foolishly. He said we were disobedient, we were deceived, we served various kinds of lusts and pleasures, we lived in malice, we were envious, we were hateful, and we all hated each other. I'm telling you, that is a potpourri of experiences, right? You know what that does? It describes the human race. There we are. Now watch what he writes here. He said, you were all acting foolishly. You were doing stupid things. You were disobedient to God. And he said, you were deceived. You had a spirit of deception on you. And he said, you were serving the various lusts and pleasures. You were envious. You were hateful. You hated one another. There's a lot of hate there. But watch what happened. Go with me to verse 4. After that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Look at this. You want another definition for grace? It's kindness and love of God. Now, I want you to get this tonight, because if you don't learn to walk in grace, I promise you, you're headed for an accident. If you don't learn to understand what grace is, in chapter 12:14, he said, many have been defiled because they allowed a root of bitterness, and it took them down, and it took them out. How many are still with this preacher tonight? Look at this. He said, for the grace of God brings salvation has appeared to all men. And it says in verse 4, toward man appeared. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus. You got to hear me. You've got to keep your eyes right now in this world straight on Jesus Christ. If you look here and you look there, I promise you, you're headed to a ditch of destruction. You look unto Jesus, who started your salvation, and he's well able to finish it. If you believe that, give a praise. Whom are you looking at? Who is your source? I'm going to ask you some questions tonight. Here's how people fall from grace. Man, they start out with a bang. They're loving God. They're serving God. He is their source. They get their eyes off of Jesus. And they start to think that they're responsible for everything. They bring back and start trusting themselves as the source. Man, I was looking for somebody here tonight. I don't know if my wife is here or not. She's been singing. She's probably... Okay, sweetie, I need you. This is unplanned, unrehearsed. Let me show you what happens. I need Tucker. I need Tanner. Tanner, you're going to be my kid tonight. Tucker, you're going to be Rachel. Tanner's going to be Brother Jeremy. Okay, we got married, and we're going through life. We're trying to build a church. We're trying to raise a family. We're trying to pay bills. We're trying to raise these kids, put clothes on them. And every time you need a pair of shoes, they need a pair. So that goes, your shoes are gone. It goes to them, right? Every time you think you're getting a new dress, they need stuff. There goes your new dress. Got it? How many been there and got shirts to wear? Every time you think, man, this time I'm going to get that pair of shoes I've been looking at, they come up and said, Dad, we need PE shoes, and you got to have a certain kind. You got to have the in shoes. They can't just be something from Walmart. They got to be special. I'm in Ireland just before Christmas and bought this kid a $98 shirt. I don't know who was stupid. He's going to grow out of it. But you know what? He wanted it. So I gave up something. Now here we go through life. We're walking up here. How are we going to raise these kids? How are we going to pay these bills? How are we going to build this church? What are we going to do for money? What are we going to do for money? What are we going to do for money? How are we going to do this? Let's turn around and go back the other way. I'm going through life. You know what's wrong with me right now? I'm looking at me. I'm looking at me. It is not my responsibility alone to raise these children. My bills are not my responsibility alone. I am looking unto Jesus. That's called grace. And the moment you quit looking at Jesus, you start failing. So you got to hear me. So we join hands. You know what we're going to do? Let's go over here and let's get an altar. In Jesus' name, Lord, help us to raise this family. Lord, you know the needs in Jesus' name. God, you called us to be in this family. Come on, boys, pray. In the name of Jesus, help us to pay these bills and buy these shoes. God, you got to help us. Lord, I cannot do this alone. So I build an altar and I go find grace, which is the love and the kindness of God. Now, is there a shout? Thank you both. Thank you all three. Oh, let's give them a hand. You know what happened to that family? They started out spiritual, but they got worldly. Now, I don't mean they got drunk and went out and just did all kinds of stuff. You can be in church and get worldly by thinking you are the one that has to make this happen. God wants to be in your family and meet your needs, and you are to look to him. Here's how people fall from grace. They've been going along 20 years, doing pretty good. Then they start looking at themselves. Oh, God. You know, and we start looking, how are we going to do this, honey? How's this going to happen? I don't know how we're going to get through this. You've got your eyes off of Jesus. And when you get your eyes off of God, here's the only way you're going to get holiness. The way you get true holiness is looking unto Jesus. But now you can't stop at verse 14 because this verse 15 is right underneath it. Give me verse 15. Follow peace. 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fall from the grace of God. Now, this writer, which I think might be Paul, says you got to be careful that a root of bitterness doesn't spring up and trouble you because it's going to defile you. I do not want to spend my life around bitter people. I want to spend my life around people who are looking unto Jesus. And furthermore, I don't want to be a bitter people. I want to be one looking unto Jesus. One translation says this, look after each other so that none of you fail. Notice, watch this. Look after each other. Keep an eye on each other. If you see bitterness start to root in, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. But the Bible says it has corrupted many. There were many in that day that were spirit-filled, Jesus' name baptized, but something happened on their journey. They allowed a root of bitterness to spring up. Now, here's what the writer says. If you really want to have peace with other people and you really want holiness, just make sure you don't fall out of grace. What is grace? It's the favor of God in your family. What makes you different than the people across the street or down the street? You all are doing about the same thing except for one thing. This family is looking unto Jesus. You say, well, I know all this. Why are you preaching this? Because it's in the Bible. And the Bible needs preached. And this writer said there were people that fell out because they got a bitter root inside of them. Now, I want you to see this. So the writer says if you fall from grace, if you fall out of grace, you're not going to have peace with others. You're not going to have peace with God. You're not going to have peace with all men. And he said, you sure won't have holiness because there's nothing holy about a root of bitterness. So what does it mean to fall from grace? Stay with me. This is what the Lord once preached. To fall from grace means I go from being totally dependent on God back down to being self-dependent. God's been doing pretty good for 20 years in our family. I think I'll take over. I think I'll manage this, Lord. I don't think we're going to have that family altar like we used to have. I think we can handle this from here on in. To fall from grace means you are no longer trusting in what Jesus has done for you, but you're back down to thinking you've got the brilliance and the resources to see what you can do for yourself. See, under the grace of God, when I'm under the grace, when by whom also we have access by faith into the grace of God, everything in my life then comes from the grace of God. Because I took a big faith line and I tapped into a big grace line. How many are still with me? And the reason this person's got more grace is they put a bigger pipe. I mean, they said, we want lots of grace. So they put a great big pipe out to the grace line, and they're tapping into more grace because they got more faith. They've got faith God can do this stuff for them. Now, I trust what Jesus has done for me, and I receive it into my life. So to be under the grace of God means I am totally depending on Him. Hebrews 12, or rather 13 and 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let's move quickly out of there. We've been there for 2 weeks. Let's go to verse 5. No, I want 13. I know exactly what I want. I want 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. What's this? In Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, why would you go from teaching on marriage over to verse 5? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We're in a covenant with God. He married us. And he said, I'll never leave you and I won't forsake you. Those are two separate things. What's that mean, God won't leave me? You know, some people get in a marriage and they physically disappear and take off. Other people forsake. Oh, they're in the same house, but they're emotionally isolated. They make it so cool you'd think refrigerators were flowing. Someone has raised the refrigerator, opened the door, and raised the freezer door. And now things are cool. So they emotionally forsake. God said, I'm in a covenant with you, and you better get this straight. What I started in you, I'm well able to finish in you, but you're going to have to tap into my grace. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I want you to get that in your head tonight, because in the days we live, we're going to have to be far more dependent on God than we have ever been heretofore. We are going to have to know that God means verse 5. Verse 6. Families, I may boldly say the Lord is my helper. Say it with me. Say it loudly and boldly. You say, what are you preaching this for? I'm telling you, in the days we live, you're going to need Hebrews 5 and you're going to need Hebrews 13:5 and 13:6. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Listen to me, men. You can only do so much. It's going to take God to raise your family. It's going to take God to meet your needs. It's going to take God to help your children. It's going to take God to help your health. It's going to take God to help your marriage. It's going to take God to help your finances. It's going to take God to help your emotional state. In fact, you're just going to have to tap into the grace of God with a big pipeline of faith. And if you were wise, I would take these verses into my heart. I'd put them in memory cells. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord is my helper. I will say that boldly. Now watch what happens here. So what does it mean to fall from grace? When you fall from grace, it means you fall from being dependent on God back down to yourself. God, I got to meet the needs of this family. God, I got to do this. God, we got to raise these kids. God, we got to get these kids this and get through this and get through that. I guess it's all on me. In other words, what you have done is you have taken God out of the formula when you fall from grace. Is it making sense? And the writer says that is a lethal error. He said that has corrupted many people. He said there is corruption in their souls from a noxious, poisonous root that got in their hearts. And we fall from grace back down to self-performance. And people are acting like now when they leave grace that the whole thing depends on them. You know what? I didn't start this church. God started this church, and if he started this church, God can finish this church. Any ministry in this church that God started, he's well able to maintain and sustain, and he's well able to finish. And we're going to have to get back into grace. We're going to have to get back into trust. We're going to have to put a pipeline of faith right out to the grace line and let it flow, which is the favor of God. It is enabling us to do that which we not normally could do. Now give a praise, somebody. To fall from grace is to fall back down to your own self-efforts. To fall from grace actually basically ends up being self-centeredness. Like everything depended on you. Like everything was on your shoulders. Galatians 5:4. Says this, Christ has become of no effect to you. Now, you know who Paul was writing to? He was writing to a church at Galatia that had received the Holy Ghost. I mean, they were filled. But somewhere in their walk with the Lord, they had fallen from grace. I want you to hear these words. I don't want to end up bitter. And I don't want to be a bitter person. And I don't want to have a noxious, toxic attitude and spirit about me. Come on, somebody. Preach with me. I want God to guard me. And I want to guard my spirit. In fact, Paul says you've got to look at each other and help each other. So here's what I'm saying. You know when you've fallen from grace, when suddenly your thinking changes in your mind. When you start noticing toxic, poisonous thinking, red flags should go up everywhere. When your mind and your thinking changes and you fall back out of grace into this carnal way of life and you suddenly take on the responsibility. I am my source of success. I am the source of my deliverance. I am the source of correcting everything in my life. Paul says, if you do that, you have taken Jesus right out of the picture. If you could fix yourself, why did he bother? If you can make it, why did he bother? If you're the source, why does he need to even leave heaven, who left the riches and came and dwelt among us? What I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to move back into a total dependency upon Christ, which manifests in prayer. If you took the worry and the concern and the burden and you put that in prayer, you would notice a difference in 24 hours. So what we do, instead of praying, we assume the burden. And you begin to think, I'm the source. I'm all alone raising this family. I'm all alone in this ministry. I'm all alone in this world. There's nobody to help me. Well, then you have just taken Christ out of the picture, and you have made him of no effect, and you've made his cross of no effect. But God's going, no, 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 no. And when you fall from grace, you're not going to see anybody but yourself. Like it all depends upon you. I can't save myself. I can't make myself holy. I mean, I can do some things, but holiness is in the heart. I have to get a holy heart. You are not the solution to your problem. And when you fall from grace, all you really see is yourself. And when you're walking on God's grace, you see Jesus. You walk into the doctor, and the doctor says, boy, you're sick. Hey, I got a new doctor since I've seen you. He fired me and I fired him. It was a mutual, no love lost agreement. It was a beautiful, bitter departure. Hallelujah. I just wanted to throw that in and get off my chest. So when you're in grace and you walk into the doctor and he says, you know, you're sick. You know what you see? You know something he doesn't know. You know something he doesn't know. Did you see the story of the man who had a large tumor come up in his eye? It popped up and he thought it was a sty and he kept rubbing it. Before the week was out, his eye was bulging. He went to the doctor. The doctor says, you have a cancerous tumor behind your eyeball. And he called him and he said, I want you to go over here to someplace. And he said, when do you want me to go? And he said, when we hang up, you get in the car. And they were waiting on him. They started giving him all this stuff. And they said, sir, he was an evangelist. They said, sir, this medicine, as soon as you take it, you go home and lay down because you are going to be deathly sick and you're going to vomit. He said, I took that medicine, went home, never did lay down because I didn't get sick. He said, I took it the next day and I didn't get sick. He said, I took it a week and I didn't get sick. And they called and said, how are you doing? He said, absolutely wonderful. Are you still vomiting? He said, I never did vomit. Kind of made him mad. You know who he had? He had Jesus. He had a healer. So when you get the bad news, you either look to yourself, you can't heal yourself, but I know a healer who's got grace. He's the kindness of God. He's the love of God. And he has now appeared unto all men. Let me tell you, anything Jesus starts, he's very well able to finish. Now, when you fall into lack or not enough to go around, when you don't have enough to go around, you see Jesus as your way out. You just hit your knees and you quote a scripture from Psalms 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. There shall be no lack because I've got a shepherd. There's several ways to say this scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. People have shepherds of different kinds. Or you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Or you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. You can emphasize any of those words. And you need to quote that, young people. You need to get this. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And when you fall from grace, you don't see anybody but yourself. You start seeing yourself as your supply. And you start seeing yourself as your healer. And you start seeing yourself as your deliverer. And that's what the writer meant when he said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Because he said, if you do not get this holiness, you will get a bitter root inside of you, and it will corrupt you. And you know it's happening when your mind starts thinking noxious, toxic thoughts. So he said, watch it. And the only way you can accomplish peace with all men and holiness is found in the following verse. Look diligently, lest you should fail of the grace of God, and that root grow up. Now I'm going to give you another translation. Work at getting along with each other. Work. You know, I try to make an effort to make friends. I have a large preacher network. I try to connect with pastors. I try to connect with people. I try to make friends with people. I try not to let people be my enemy. In fact, I go out of the way for them to get to like me. Is that okay? You know why? Because the Bible says, work at getting along. I like to get along with the community people. Otherwise, you'll not so much as get a glimpse of God. Make sure no one gets left out of God's generosity. Keep a sharp eye out for weeds of bitter discontent. A thistle or two gone to seed can ruin the whole garden in no time. And then he says, watch out for the Esau syndrome, trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. You well know how Esau later regretted that impulsive act and wanted God's blessing, but by then it was too late. Tears or no tears. When we fall from grace, all we see is ourself. And you'll never see God working in your life. If you feel like it's all up to you to make it, and you've assumed the responsibility of your soul, so if you don't want to be caught up in self-centeredness, don't fall from grace. And we're living in a time right now where we have got to be more God-dependent than we have ever been in our lives. You're not the source of your prosperity. You are not the source of your health. You are not the source of your deliverance. God is your source. Jesus told us, I'm the vine and you're the branches, and he that abides in me and I in him brings forth much fruit. And he said, without me, you can do nothing. So you got to stay connected to the grace line. It's the same identical allegory. We have access by faith into this grace. You got to tap into the grace. Some people never tap in because all they can see is that they themselves are responsible to make this happen. He alone is our source. Look with me at Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, that's a good scripture to quote. I mean, that's a good scripture. But you know what it means? There is a supernatural divine force in me that my neighbor doesn't have. I'm not better than him, but I got a source in me. Hear me, young people. This is your success. I can do all things through Christ who is pouring strength into me. I want you to see this. If you don't get this, in other words, Jesus alone is your source. That is being Christ-centered. Or when we fall from grace, we fall back into self-centeredness and me-centeredness. Go to Philippians 4:19, six verses later. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You have not got one problem tonight that God hasn't got a supply line for. You've got to own this. The Lord is, look at this, my shepherd. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. But when you fall from grace, here's how this scripture reads. I am responsible to supply all of my needs. You have made Christ of no effect, for you have fallen from grace. Galatians 5:4. And here's what the Lord is telling us through these scriptures. After you've traveled with God for a while, you kind of think you're the one in charge and you've been doing this all along, and you haven't been doing it all along. It's God that's been doing it all along. And when you fall from grace, you take God out of the picture. And so you got to make a choice. Is verse 19 true or is it not true? And if it's not true, you got a very dim future. Anybody here ever been in trouble? Boy, none of you are in trouble. I must have been the only ones that ever been in trouble. Go with me to Psalms chapter 91. I want to show you something in the Bible. I'm preaching a lot of scripture. Because he has set his love upon me, I will deliver him. From what? Whatever the trouble is. Because he has set his sights on me. Because I have been looking unto Jesus. You know, tomorrow morning we can't get out of bed unless God gives us the breath and the energy. I used to laugh at that gospel song, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. But I'm going to tell you what, God has to give you permission for the next step. And he's got to give you the strength. You better hear me tonight. This is the truth that we need to hear. He said, because he has set his love on me, I will deliver him. If you're in a mess, if you're in a conundrum, if you've made a mess of things, you're going, my God, how will I get out of this? Lord, you got to help me. Jesus, help me. Oh, God, help me. My God, help me. You can't get yourself out of the mess you've made. You've been trying to get out of that mess for years. He said, I will deliver him. Watch this. He said, I'm not only going to deliver him, my God shall supply all my needs. I will deliver him. And he said, not only am I going to deliver you, I'm going to set you up in a high place. That's promotion. God said, I'm going to deliver you, and I am going to promote you because thou hast known my name. What's that name? These people in this water this morning, they know a name. They're going to be set on high. They may have been in messes. You might be in a mess tonight. It might be a mess you made. Here's what people do. I made this mess. I'll get out of this mess. No, you won't. You can't get out of the mess you made because you've just been making a bigger mess trying to get out of the mess. So you need a deliverer, right? I got to look to Jesus. We got to get more Jesus dependent. We've got to be totally God dependent and quit depending on our abilities, on our ingenuity, and our own resources. Give a praise in this house. I will deliver him. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I want you to see this. I will be with him in trouble. I'm taking my time on these scriptures. He shall call upon me and I will deliver him. So the man with the cancer in his eye, it was huge. And he kept going to the doctor and they kept saying, this is going to make you so sick. And he went back for the checkup and they kind of got upset. Why aren't you sick? This medicine has made everybody sick. Everybody that takes this medicine lays in bed and vomits for weeks. He said, well, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to get sick. And he didn't give a big, you know, testimony. He just said, that's not going to happen. When they got done with him, he was dismissed and considered totally healed. And the nurses and the doctors said, are you keeping a journal of what's going on with you? We have never had this happen with somebody that has what you've got. It's never happened in this hospital. They said, we want you to write this book and journal everything. He said, well, I've been Facebooking it every day to my friends. And all my Facebook friends are praying for me. And they said, well, we've got to tell you, you had a miracle. You were supposed to get sick and you didn't get sick because he said he has set his love on me. I'm going to deliver him and set him on high. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and I will honor him. You know what that's called? G-R-A-C-E, grace, unmerited favor. It's the power of God in your life helping you to do things you couldn't ordinarily do. Far beyond your ability, beyond your learning, beyond a degree, beyond anything you got, natural talent. And he says, God says, I will deliver him. 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know what that verse is saying? It's saying, when you fall or fail from the grace of God, you're falling back on self-dependency, and suddenly you discover you are not going to be successful. People become bitter when their plan doesn't work. People become defiled when their plan doesn't work because they have been depending upon what they can do and not what God can do. People get disappointed because their plan did not work. Then they get angry and then they get a root of bitterness. And you know, bitterness comes out of the plan we designed and it didn't work. So bitterness is a root. The strategies we learn anywhere at a conference or in a college sometimes don't work. I have been to a lot of church growth conferences over the years. I've brought home some things I've learned. But my situation was not their situation. I had to put my face every Monday night for 45 years down in a pew to get my ministry to work. I don't know how people have any ministry that don't pray. I don't get it. I don't know how they operate. I have never seen a successful prayerless ministry. I have to bury my face before God and say, I'm not my source. You started this. God, you're the finisher. Is anybody with me here tonight? And I'm going to tell you, for the Christian, for the child of God, for the Holy Spirit-filled person, nothing you do will work without Jesus Christ right in the middle of it. Your family won't work. Your job won't work. Your finances won't work. Nothing works without Jesus in the middle of it. You say, well, how does that translate? Prayer, prayer, prayer. If you're dependent upon God, you're on your face. If you're dependent upon God, you've humbled yourself. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. But what I see in the churches today is a massive carnality and secularism. I've seen people leave prayer. Just leave it. And they end up in a mess. People become bitter when their plans don't work out. I see this in marriages from time to time. Couples go through difficulties. Each other blaming the other. Then they come back together and say, we got to work this out. No, you don't. If you don't turn to God, he's the only one that can work it out. God can work out a marriage. Come on. The problem is you cannot work out a marriage problem. Jesus can work it out. But here's our problem. We really don't believe it. We really don't believe it. Our problem is we have not put a pipeline of faith out to that great grace line. And the people that get the most going on in their life are people who have put a pipe right out there. The problem is the we. Jesus has to become the center of every successful thing you do. Now watch the progression of bitterness, which comes as a result of falling from grace. It leads every time to, please go with me to verse 16. Watch the progression. Peace with all men, getting along with other people. Give me 12:16 on that screen. It leads to two things. He said, follow peace with all men and holiness. Hear me. Hear me. You have to build a network of friendship. You have to be a connector. You have to work at it. You have to treat people with respect. Well, they're not saved. You still treat them with respect. You got it? The church needs to treat people in the community with respect. There's people out there doing jobs for us. They're fighting fires. They're picking us up out of a car wreck. They're hauling us in an ambulance. They're poking needles in us in an ER. They're putting an IV inside of us. These are community people. There's mayors and city council people, and they're all doing stuff for us. We need to respect those people because they're doing a thankless job most of the time. Is anybody still with this preacher? So you got to build a network. You got to follow peace with all men. Well, bless God, they don't like us because we're holiness Pentecostal. It might be your attitude toward them that turned them off. Treat them with respect. They know what they're doing. How many are with this preacher right now? How many are still in this message? Paul said, if you can't follow peace with people, you have no holiness. And he said, then you get holiness. Now watch what happens here. It leads every time in verse 16 to two things. It leads to fornication and to the profanity. The word profane means secular, disrespectful, irreverent, or sacrilegious. To act as though there is no God. Can you give me verse 16? To act as though there is no God. It all begins when we fall from grace by depending upon what I can do. You go from not getting along, no holiness. You fall from grace. You fall into your own self-dependence. And every time it leads to bitter root. And a woman sometimes, or a man, will get so bitter against their spouse, they'll go out and commit sin just to get even. Like Esau. Esau became a... Why did Esau get profane? He let a root... Can you do this with me? So you won't forget this message. He let a root of bitterness get in his heart. Note the progression, the fall from grace. Jesus is the center. No prayer, no prayer, no prayer. And then no prayer. And after a while, you miss a few days without prayer, and then it turns into weeks, and you become a secular Christian. You become a carnal Christian. And there's not a whole lot of difference in you and the neighbor then. Now watch what happens here. When you fall from grace, you go back to self-effort and what you do for yourself. Let me tell you something. It's either going to be Jesus running you or you running you. If you're walking in grace, Jesus is running your life. Jesus is running your health, your finances, and your future. The Lord's got my future in his hand. Do you believe he's got your future? I'm not going to stay up tonight and worry all night about what's going on in D.C. or A.C. or London. Or I'm not going to worry about Iran because I know Jesus has got my future right in his hand. That's called grace. God's got my family. God's got you. So Christ can have no impact in our lives if we fall back into self-performance. I'm going to ask the singers to come and join because I might preach for a while if you don't. Chapter 16. The Israelites got out in the desert. What are we going to eat? What are we going to eat? What are we going to eat? Well, God said, every morning I'm going to send down manna. And he said, you go out and collect enough for how long? Anyone remember how long? One day. He said, you gathered every morning. And he said, you get just enough for your house and don't you try to store it. Watch what happens. So they gathered every morning in Exodus 16:21, every man according to his house. And when the sun came up, it melted. But on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much in verse 22. Two omers for one man, and all the rulers came and told Moses. They said, don't let it, don't try to store it up. And would you know, how many of you know, some people went out and tried to gather up enough for a week, and you know what it turned into? It rotted. Well, bless God, I got grace when I got the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm sure glad you did, but you need a fresh supply. You need some more prayer. Amen. Did you say something, Brother Keith? I'm hearing things. He said, hurry and bring this thing down. I'm bringing it down right now. I need three chairs here and three over there. Three green chairs there and three green chairs here. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. How much grace do you want? It's according to how much you're going to depend on God, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. How much grace? All grace. 2 Corinthians 9:14. The exceeding grace of God in you. Verse 12 and 9. Paul prayed three times for some situation. And he begged God for something. You know what God said? Say it with me. My grace is sufficient for thee. Let me tell you, young couples, how to raise a family. When they've gone to bed, you walk through and say, my grace is sufficient. God's grace. You're going to deliver me, God, because I've known your name, and you're going to set this family on high. I believe this. My God shall supply. I can do all things through Christ. I can't do all things through me. When people fall from grace, then they start taking it on their own hands. So what you got to do is you got to follow peace with all men and stand with me tonight. I've got six chairs here. And if you need grace for something, I want you to come and sit in the grace chair, which is the power of God, the miraculous power of God. It's unmerited favor. If you need grace, come up here and sit in one of these grace chairs, and there's going to be some saints gather around you. They're going to pray for you. Excellent.